one of the main themes throughout Vacation Bible School was about King Solomon. Y'all remember us talking about King Solomon? Guess what? We're going to talk about him some more today. If you have your Bibles, and will, please turn with me to 1 Kings, the second chapter, beginning with verse 10. 1 Kings, chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Now, if you will, please turn with me over to chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child." Remember, we talked about last week that Solomon was just 12 years old when he became king. "I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And he said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honor all of your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways and keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." This is a word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There was a teenage boy who was walking home from school one day, and he happened up on an old rusty lamp beside the road. And he picked it up, and while he was dusting it off, poof, a genie appeared and offered him 3 wishes. The boy thought long and hard before he decided what to wish for. The first thing he said was, "I want a potion that will cure all the sick people." The genie says, "Granted. Your wish will be at your home when you get there." The second thing, the boy thought a minute and he said, "I wish for a diamond that's so large that it cannot be carried." Genie says, "Granted, when you get home, your wish will be there." And thirdly, being a teenage boy, his last wish was for a dinner date with a famous female movie and television star. "Granted, said the genie. Your wish will be at home when you get there. The genie disappeared. The boy raced home quickly, and he ran into the house. Mama, Mama, has anything been delivered for me today? Well, yes, matter of fact, it has been a very strange day. Mama says, first of all, a 55-gallon barrel of homemade chicken and noodle soup showed up today. Then I received a call from a lawyer saying that a long-lost cousin of yours had died and left you a minor league baseball diamond and stadium. And then just a few minutes ago, some bigwig from NGM called inviting you to a dinner date with Lassie. This is the kind of question that we joke about. What if? What if we won the lottery? What if we had three wishes? What would you wish for? A new car. A new motorhome. The list could go on and on and on. But I think another place in the Bible where this happened, kind of like this, it was the story of Solomon at the beginning of his career as king. He kind of sort of had a genie in a bottle experience from God himself. Solomon's father, King David, had just died and left a very powerful nation to his son. And in a dream, God came to Solomon and asked, what can I give you? Why in a dream? Have you ever thought about that a lot of times that's the only place that we shut up long enough that God can talk to us? God can come to us in our dreams. We have people all throughout the Old Testament and the New that had a dream where the Lord spoke to them. God can get our attention through our dreams. Solomon acknowledged the fact that he was young. He was inexperienced. He couldn't fill his father's shoes. He couldn't fill David's shoes. David was one of the most remarkable kings that ever reigned. So here's this little 12-year-old boy that all of a sudden he's king. And he doesn't even know how to go about being a king. So here we see God offering him anything that he chooses. No conditions, no tricks, no strings attached. He didn't get three wishes, only one. So Solomon had to be very, very careful what he chose. Clearly, we see that Solomon had a love for God just like his father David had had. Not because of David's status as a king, not because of David's wealth, but because of David's heart, because of his love for God. Solomon was talking to God and telling him that the people of Israel deserve something better. He was not qualified. But then Solomon made his request. God, give me an understanding heart. One that can choose wisely between what's good and what's evil. One that will enable me to hear you so that I might govern your people well. God is overwhelmed with joy when he hears Solomon's request. He had not asked for riches or honor or fame, but he had asked for wisdom, for an understanding heart, to be able to discern the difference between what's good and what's evil. But in addition to having an understanding heart and having wisdom, God gave him riches and honor and long life. So we see Solomon starting out on a much stronger foot than even David did because of the way he prayed. But we need to notice that there was a condition for all of this. God was granting Solomon everything that he could ever hope for. But he also had a responsibility. We today have a responsibility as children of God. It's one thing for us to have a heart that's able to listen to the voice of God. But it's quite another thing to do what our heart tells us to do. Sometimes what our heart tells us to do interferes with what we in the natural want to do. Our heart may tell us, okay, Karen, it's Sunday morning, get up and go to Sunday school and church. But my body says, just 10 more minutes. Just 15 more minutes. Our body and our mind and our heart aren't always synchronized. But when we put God first and trust in him and strive to do his will, and what we know pleases God, that God will give us the strength that we need to accomplish the things for him. Our Heavenly Father may not always tell us what to do or what we should do, but remember, he always tells us what is best. It's a leap of faith. We've heard preachers and teachers talk about stepping out on your faith. Take that leap of faith. I ain't gonna do it. Peter did. When he got out of the boat, he began to walk on the water. He took that leap of faith. I took that leap of faith the day that I said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna preach. I was happily retired. But God had other plans for my life. God has other plans for your life today, regardless of your age, regardless of who you are or where you live. God has a plan for every one of us. But it's up to us. And with his plan for our life comes responsibility. He's looking for those of us today who are willing to take that leap of faith. And it's often into the unknown. When we take this leap of faith, like I said, age doesn't matter. Anyone can decide to have a listening heart. What matters is our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Yielding to the Spirit of God makes us obedient. And by obedience, we obtain God's true and perfect will for our life. We must be obedient. Regardless of our circumstances, God is calling us today. He wants us to all have what I referred to here a while back as an authentic relationship with Him. People are searching today for something real that they can grasp onto. They can say, yes, I believe this. Yes, Daniel is my friend. Yes, we had a fantastic church service. We have to put God first because we are striving for that personal one-on-one relationship. By having a God-listening heart, we're opening ourselves to bear witness to His glory in our lives and in the lives of others. Solomon was a prime example of what could be done when we listen to the Spirit of God. He's also a prime example of what happens when we don't listen. We end up in a mess. Solomon began to have a false sense of security. He relied all of a sudden on his own wisdom rather than continuing to ask God for an understanding heart. You know, it's bad whenever we get to the point that we have been saying, God, help me. And then all of a sudden we decide what's best for ourselves. That's one of the mistakes that Solomon made. Another mistake that he made, he began to marry women who worship idol gods and began taking part in their idol worship. Scripture tells us, you should have no other God before me. I am Jehovah God. There's none other. His mistakes caused lasting damage to the people in the kingdom of Israel. So we see there are consequences for those who do not have a God-listening and understanding heart. The person who forgets about God and does not have this God-hearing, understanding heart. They have an inner turmoil in their life. They're always stressed out and out of control. They dwell on their insecurities that are within themselves. They become paranoid. They feel that everybody's against them or even possibly out to hurt them. They have a false sense of security. We see this a lot of times in the younger generation. They have the feeling that they're invincible. Nothing can harm me. That's a false sense of security. But that got into Solomon's way because he had the attitude, I'm King Solomon. I'm smart. I'm wise. God has blessed me. But he didn't continue to ask for God's guidance. God does not change today. We do. I do and you do. We all change. It's such a blessing to know that even in the midst of our trials that we can call on Him. Jesus knows exactly what we've been through. And He knows exactly what we're going through with right now. Whether you're 50 years old or 15 years old, Jesus knows everything that you're facing. He knows all of the problems. He knows whether it's a financial problem and you're having trouble getting all your bills paid. He knows about it. He knows whether you're having a problem in school. He knows about it. And He cares. But it's only when we ask for forgiveness and repent and continue to live in fellowship with the Father through the Spirit that we can have this wisdom that Solomon had, that we can have the power in our life to resist the temptations that we're faced with at work, that we're faced with in school, God will give us that power. But only when we ask for forgiveness and repent can we continue to live in fellowship with the Father through the Spirit. So I ask you today, I beg with you today, to continue to seek God, to seek His will in your life, to continue to ask God for a God-listening, understanding heart. When you do this, the world will bear witness to the change that has been made in you, because there will be a change. And you won't have to say anything, because that change will be written on your face. Your very countenance will change. You will have a charismatic glow, because you have been with Jesus, because you have allowed Jesus Christ to touch your life and to become a part of your life. On the other hand, today, if you have lost that glow, if you have lost the joy of your salvation, you can find it again. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unending and everlasting joy can be ours today. Yes, we have things that happen that make us sad, that make us miserable. And sometimes, if I get sad or I get miserable, I have a tendency to make everybody around me sad and miserable. We all are like that. But we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to let Satan steal our joy. A dear friend of mine made the remark one time in church service. She says, "The devil has fought me all week long, and he's tried to destroy me. He's tried to take everything that was precious to me. But there's one thing he can't steal. He can't steal my joy." We can have that joy unspeakable and full of glory today. We don't have to let Satan steal our joy. You can have joy today. Turn all of your sadness and your gloomy attitude over to Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You know, change is never easy, but it's worth the risk. We need to change today and put God first. We need to pray for the understanding and wisdom that only God can give. One within your heart. We need to pray for that wisdom. I need it. None of us are exempt from needing the touch of Jesus Christ in our life. You can go from having short, brief periods of happiness to having eternal, unending joy. We all need to ask the Lord this morning for the ability to listen with our hearts and our minds and to yield to the Spirit. Amen.